السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. رب زدني علما، اللهم افتح مسامع قلوبنا لذكرك. We praise and we glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as He deserves, and we send peace and blessings on His noble messenger, the seal of prophethood, our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his noble family and descendants and his companions. And we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless our meeting with His acceptance and making it a means of opening our hearts to His remembrance and to make the opening of His kitab, Al-Fatiha, an opening to our hearts, to His words, to His kalam, and to His orders and to His prohibitions, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us in useful knowledge, which is knowledge that helps us to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ameen. So we covered last week the introduction to the opening chapter, Al-Fatiha. And today we are going to actually start with Al-Fatiha.
Surah Alaq.
No, that's a wild guess, but it is incorrect. So I'm not going to tell you, but if you remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and we have made guards over the hellfire 19, and we've made their number as a trial for the people, remember? And as a strength for the believers and a reassurance for the people of the book. But, you know, they said, why 19? So you can go back on your notes and see where it is. Yes. Jazakallah khair. So there are 19 zabani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made. Nothing to do with COVID-19. That's also 19. Now, do you know how many alphabets there are in Basmala? Guess, I'm asking you. 19. So the scholars have said that each letter of Bismillah becomes a shield against the 19 Zabaniya. So this is your protection against Jahannam. So there are scholars who have numerically looked at many things. And, you know, in our Etikaf, I had given some our people in Etikaf a hint about that within, embedded within the surah, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ, there is a hint that it is the 27th night, and I said, please ask me, and nobody asked, so I let it go. But this is also for those who are interested. Look in there. There is a hint of the 27th. So people who look at the numerical analysis, and maybe we can talk about it another time. Also, that every letter of Basmala is the opening to one of the names of attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, Ba for Basir, Sin for Sami', Mim for Malik, Alif for Allah, Lam for Latif, Ha for Hadi, Ra for Raziq or Razzaq, Ha for Halim, and Noon for Noor. You say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Each of those alphabets opens into a whole world of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, when we recite Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, as we mentioned last time, some people, there are both ways. It can be recited loud or it can be recited silently. And there are two ways if it's recited loudly. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, stop. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. That's one way that is reported from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our mother Ummu Salama, I believe, reported this hadith. There is other narrations that when it is recited without stopping and there is agreement on this also, then it is recited as Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alamin. So it becomes a kasra. So those are some of the modes of recitation of this Basmala. So after this, after the Bism, it comes Allah, which is the greatest and most comprehensive of all the names of Allah that He has identified Himself with, because that is the possessor of all the other attributes. And in the Arabic language, many of them have plurals and duals. Allah has no dual and no plural. So it is the proper name. You know, when you say Allah, it's not like God, because you can have different gods. Allah, very clear. Allah is a proper name of the true self-existent creator who has all the divine attributes, the Lord, the Rabb, the one and only God, the one only who should be worshipped. So, the majority opinion is that it is a unique designation of the divine essence, the dhat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Since we have no clue of the dhat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this name Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this name encompasses the dhat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It gives you who He is, that this is a proper name, that it is not derived. You know, in Arabic language, there words are derived from other root. Most of the roots can be 3 or 4 or even 5. But again, there are differences of opinion. There are some scholars that have said that perhaps it is derived from ilah. And alif lam are added to exalt it. Ilah, because Allah uses the word ilah in the Quran, means the one who is worshipped. Al-ilah, Allah, the one. Some have said that it is derived from what is called la or walaha, which means the one who bewilders. Walih, bewilders means when you think about him, you are just bewildered, you cannot comprehend. Okay. So that's the name Allah. My personal opinion, for whatever it's worth, I think it's not derived from anything, because all the languages came after. Allah always existed and He was always Allah. So that name didn't have to be derived from some language that He created. Then comes the next name, which is Ar-Rahman. Again, this is another specific name that exclusively belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it has another unique thing that the name Allah has, that Ar-Rahman does not have a dual and does not have a plural. Rahim has dual and plural. Rahman does not have. So, Ar-Rahman, the way it's structured, it is sort of in what we would call the intensive form in Arabic, or sighatul mubalagha, that it's then all-encompassing. It's a general meaning, Ar-Rahman, which encompasses all aspects of mercy, of rahmah, of loving mercy, or merciful love, or compassion, whatever you want to call all of those, to the extent that no one else possesses it. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so rahmah of Rahman, is, he gave us an example, is 100 parts. And all the rahmah that you see anywhere, in the human beings, in the animal kingdom, anywhere you see any rahmah, is 1 out of those 100 parts that Allah has given to His creation. And He has kept 99 parts, a portion of that rahmah, for Himself to be used on the Day of Judgment. And that's to give us hope of His mercy and His forgiveness. So, this the word Rahman, the name Rahman, has a wide meaning and a general impact. Means that His, as a Rahman, His merciful love covers everything, every possible thing, including disbelievers. Because Allah is merciful, He provides for them. He sends messengers to them. He feeds them. He lets them prosper in the dunya. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Rahman for His entire creation. So just like the word, the name Allah, scholars say that this is again part of His that, of His essence, of His being. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the names interchangeably. He says, قُلْ يَدْعُ اللَّهَ أَوِدْءُ الرَّحْمَنِ Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, invoke, عُدْءُ اللَّهِ, whether you invoke Allah, أَوِدْءُ الرَّحْمَنِ, or you invoke الرَّحْمَنِ, أَيَّمْ مَا تَدْعُوا فَلَهُ أَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى Whichever of them you use, it is His name. Okay, to Him belongs the most, the best names. So, when we think of the word Rahman, remember that this mercy, this is such an overwhelming mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that it is for all creation, even those who reject, even the atheists, even the rejects, the sinners, everyone is covered by this mercy. Some others have said that perhaps Rahman is also derived from Rahma, which is mercy. Now, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam first introduced this name to the kuffar of Mecca, because this is among the early revelation, he started with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. They recognized Allah. What did they say? Who is this Rahman? Including, if you remember, that letter, that agreement of Hudaybiyah, where Ali radiallahu anhu was instructed by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that this is agreement between Muhammad ibn Abdullah, and started with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. What did the Quraysh representative say to that? We know Allah, we don't know this, erase this. And also, when he said this, some of them ridiculed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam because you know there was a false prophet at the time in Yamama by the name of Musaylima al-Kadhab, the liar, as he's, that's his title. Because he used to call himself Ar-Rahman of Yamama. And that's why he's called the liar. Because no one can be Ar-Rahman. Now the other name that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses here is Ar-Rahim, which is a more general name, but it has a specific meaning and a particular action. And what is that this is an exclusive Rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the believers. This is not for everybody. Some have said for the believers on the Day of Judgment, but others have said no, for believers in the dunya and on the Day of Judgment. So the disbelievers get only what comes as Allah being a Rahman, but the believers get that general Rahmah of Rahman, but they get the specific intimate Rahmah of Ar-Rahim, such as their protection, their guidance, the kindness that Allah shows them in the dunya and the akhirah. And this is especially for believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هُوَ الَّذِي يُسَلِّي عَلَيْكُمْ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ لَيُخْرِجَكُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا And He is, for the believers, Rahim. This word Rahim can be used for other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It can be a name that you give to your child, but you cannot give the name Rahman to anyone because this is an exclusive name. And, you know, we have to be very careful with that because it is forbidden to use that by itself. Abdurrahman is the best of names. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave this title of Rahim to our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam also. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ Indeed, there has come a prophet from amongst yourself, and it is very difficult for him to see you suffer. When you have hardship and difficulty, it's hard for him to bear that. For the believers, Rauf and Rahim, full of mercy and love. So it is said, and remember this, that it is by Rahim that you reach Ar-Rahman. What does that mean? That if you take Ar-Rahim as Allah, it is that special blessing that Ar-Rahim has on believers that he guides you to reach Ar-Rahman. If you take Rahim as the name of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, again, it is through Rahim, in other words, by obeying and following the teachings and footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will reach Ar-Rahman, which is our goal, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is, in short, the Basmala. Now we'll start with Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. The word Alhamd is a statement of gratitude. Gratitude, it's a statement that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directed towards Himself. He taught us that you want to show gratitude and you want to thank me, say Alhamdulillah. That's how you should do it. So Allah taught us that you want to praise, to glorify, to thank me on your own. This is, you say Alhamdulillah. So it's a very, very special statement it should be volitional. It's not a commandment that you feel from your own that you want to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there are some differences between shukr and hamd. Shukr is also thankfulness. But generally the word shukr is used when somebody does a favor to you. So you do shukr, you show gratitude. Now hamd is done for a favor, but it can also be done without any favor. Just because of who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. If you look at His magnificence, you look at His greatness, you look at the quality, His attributes, His names and everything else, without perceiving, even if you ignore that He has done any favor, you say Alhamdulillah. But then if you really go into it, you look at and analyze all the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some that are obvious to you and many that are not obvious. So we are never in a state where we are not covered by the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we are not overwhelmed by His favors, because there are things going on inside a body for which hamd is due. Those are favors from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we are not even aware of them. My kidney is working, I wasn't thinking about it. So shukr is in response to the favor. Hamd is both in response to a favor and also spontaneously as a dhikr, as an expression of love, of gratitude, of glorification. And it should be whenever you hear the name of Allah, any name of Allah, immediately the heart should propel itself into a state of hamd. That feeling, the first feeling that should be aroused in the heart of the believer on the mention of His name and His infinite grace, out of gratitude, out of reverence, out of love, should be Alhamdulillah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has recorded in the Quran hamd, Alhamd, from all the Prophets, from Nuh alayhi salam, from Ibrahim alayhi salam, from Dawud alayhi salam, from Sulaiman alayhi salam. And he ordered the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam, he said, وَقُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي لَمْ يَتَّخِذْ وَلَدَ. And say, Alhamdulillah to the one who did not take a son. Every time you say Alhamd, it's also not only Allah is pleased with it, because Allah is very pleased with it, but it is recorded for you as a hasana, as a good deed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَهُوَ اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّهُ لَهُ الْحَمْدُ فِي الْأُولَى وَالْآخِرَةِ وَلَهُ الْحُكْمُ وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. وَهُوَ اللَّهُ, and He is Allah, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّهُ, there is no deity, no one worthy of worship except Him. لَهُ الْحَمْدُ, to Him belongs all praise, all hamd, فِي الْأُولَى وَالْآخِرَةِ, in the beginning, in the first, which means the world, wal akhira, which means in the hereafter. And to Him belongs lahul hukm, all decisions, all commands belong to Him, and to Him you will be returned. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this hamd does not end in this dunya. He says this hamd will be in the akhirah, and the people of Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, دعواهم فيها سبحانك اللهم وتحياتهم فيها سلام وآخر دعواهم أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. That in paradise, their call of the dwellers of paradise will be Subhanallah, Subhanak, glory be to you, O Allah. And their great greetings, the tahiyyat, will be Assalam. And akhiru da'wahum, and their closing prayer will be Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So these are words that will continue into the akhirah, into Jannah. So in general, hamd is a more general term. When it is done, it is with a favor, and even otherwise, when no favor is perceived, even though we are always, as I said, under his favors. And hamd is done by the tongue, by saying it, and it is felt in the heart. Whereas the shukr, another difference is, shukr is more general with respect to how it is done. We do shukr by the tongue, we thank people. We do shukr by the limbs, for example, using the limbs properly. That's a shukr, that's not hamd. Similarly with the heart, by recognizing, that's a shukr. And for the bounties, you know, we have a bounty of water. So we use it properly, that's a shukr. And after we finish for the bounty, we thank him by saying Alhamdulillah. So Alhamd includes all manners of praise that are specified to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't generally use this word for anyone other than for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a beautiful statement, very concise, but very comprehensive, because it includes praise and thanks for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala due to his greatness, his unity, his tawheed, his perfection, his beautiful names and attributes, acknowledging all of that, and his innumerable favors and blessings that no one can count or encompass except him. The fadail of Alhamdulillah, that number one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased when a person eats and says Alhamdulillah, drinks, says Alhamdulillah. So much so that whenever you have a favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you say Alhamdulillah, your Alhamdulillah is more virtuous than the blessing itself. Because I had this blessing, which is water, which I enjoyed, then I said Alhamdulillah, that water is gone. This Alhamdulillah is recorded forever. You don't know what that Alhamdulillah is doing in the hereafter, what it's doing in paradise, what it's building over there. So Alhamdulillah is better and more virtuous than the blessing itself. But the blessing is virtuous because it leads you to say Alhamdulillah, which is, and the tawfiq for that is another favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So some have said that you can never say enough Alhamdulillah, because one favor comes, you say Alhamdulillah for the favor. Now that Alhamdulillah was tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to say. So you say Alhamdulillah for this Alhamdulillah, then that Alhamdulillah requires another Alhamdulillah, and Alhamdulillah, and so it's endless, because the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are endless. So this is the beauty of Alhamdulillah and thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One person, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, once said that a person said, Rabbi lak alhamd kama yanbaghi li jalali wajhik wa bi azim sultanik. O my Lord, to you belongs hamd, that is befitting your majesty and the glory and splendor of your majesty. And the angels who record hasanat didn't know how to weigh this and what kind of reward. So the hadith says that they went back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who already knows what, and said, Ya Allah, your slave has said something that we don't know how to record. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, already knowing this, asked them, what did they say? They said, he said this, Rabbi lak alhamd kama yanbaghi li jalali wajhik wa bi azim sultani. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, record it as he has said it. And on the day of judgment, I will reward him for it. There's a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam where he says tahara or purity is shatrul iman, is half of iman, and then he says alhamdulillah fills the scales, and he says subhanallah walhamdulillah fills the space between the heavens and the earth. In other words, it's so great in reward that even the space between the heavens and the earth is not sufficient to contain. You say subhanallah wa bihamdihi with this true meaning, true impact, true sincerity, the reward of this is greater than what we see around us. There is another hadith that the most excellent of dhikr is la ilaha illallah, and the most excellent of dua is alhamdulillah as a dua. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the most excellent or most beloved statements of to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are four: subhanallah walhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah Allahu akbar Allahu akbar. So make this part of your daily adhkar, doing a tasbih of 100 of those morning and evening, whatever time permits. Subhanallah walhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah Allahu akbar. Feeling it. Every time we say alhamdulillah, we should feel it. So this is alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, and we're going to stop with that. Rabb, as you know, is literally means the master, the owner, the one who provides, who protects. And the word Rabb is used for other than Allah also. For example, Rabbul Bayt in Surah Yusuf, you know, from the prison, Yusuf alayhi salam tells the prisoner, go tell your Rabb about my situation, means your master. So the word Rabb can be used, the master of the house is Rabbul Bayt. But when you use Ar-Rabb, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because He is the creator. He is the provider. He is the sustainer. He is the nourisher. He is the protector. He nurtures. He fulfills all the needs of every one of His creation. So when we say Ar-Rabb, we know we are talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who sustains the general needs of creating, of granting provision, of guiding people to benefit and keeping them from harm. And it also is specific because it, as a Rabb, He gives a specific sustenance to the faithful in keeping with their faith, which includes completing and perfecting their acts of worship, the hidayah, the guidance to that, repressing their negative inclinations, protecting them from sinful temptations, exposure to things that will lead to evil, removing hindrances in doing good. So all of that is part of the rububiyah, the Rabb, Allah being the Rabb, that He protects us from evil and misguidance, and He helps us to move along the path of guidance. And the word alameen is plural of alam, and alam, the scholars have said, as we were mentioning last time, is anything that possesses intellect. So the mankind is an alam, jinnkind is an alam, angels alam, shayateen, the evil jinn alam. Some have said that every race in the human being is an own alam, and every generation is an own alam, every species is an alam. And the general meaning of alameen, which is commonly accepted, is that as-samawat, the heavens, wal-ard, the earth, wa-ma baynahuma, and whatever's in between, this is all alam. And what it contains, nobody knows. Everything is alameen. He is the Rabb of all of that. He is the creator, the provider, sustainer. Everything is there by His command. So the general understanding of alameen is all that is in existence besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma says that alameen is the creation in its entirety, the heavens and the earth, all the worlds, and whosoever is in them, and whatsoever is between them, and that which is known and unknown. Alameen. So Allah is the absolute Godhead, the Ilah, without partners, an active, ever-living authority without a beginning and end for all of these. The Lord of the worlds. When you say Rabbil Alameen, when you think of these, what these alam are, and He is the one who's it engenders in you awe for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, awe and fear. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves to be praised simply because He is Allah. Due to His perfection, His names and attributes, His nurturing and sustaining, that's why we say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And the blessings He has granted us for the governance of our affairs and the affairs of the entire creation. Therefore, it should give us awe and reverence for Him. And through this we also learn that Allah is distinct from His creation, because everything other than Him is His creation. And He is outside of space, because space is His creation. So after this, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, which generates fear and awe, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again brings the same two attributes. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. So He follows that again, because just in case the poor believers are in so much awe and fear, they are feeling uncomfortable and scared, to reassure them and to comfort them and to increase them in their desire for Him, that He is Rahman, He is Rahim. He is Rabbul Alameen, but He is Rahman and Rahim. There's a hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and I'm going to end today's session with this. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if the believers, now listen carefully, if the believers know the punishment of Allah, Maliki Yawmiddin, Rabbul Alameen, Jabbar, Qahhar, Muntaqim, Aziz, Malmateen, what kind of punishment there would be. If the believers know the punishment of Allah, no one would have hope for his Jannah. They would be so scared. Then he says, and if the unbelievers knew of the mercy of Allah, no one would despair or lose hope in gaining his Jannah. The believers would be scared because of this, that how can I get to Jannah? But knowing His mercy, even the disbelievers would have hope in His Jannah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leaves us with that after talking about His might, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, the most commonly used names and attributes of Allah besides Allah in the Quran, over and over again. So we are going to end with that today, and then we will start the next ayah, Maliki Yawmiddin, inshallah bi-idhnillah, next Wednesday. So we hope that this session has been somewhat useful. This is something that we should reflect on, each word. Sit and reflect on how I have understood these words, and also feel the impact of that when you recite it in your Fatiha 17 times a day. Recite the Fatiha slowly, feeling that, feeling the words, feeling the Fatiha. And if we feel the Fatiha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open our hearts to everything else, to all goodness. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept this, and inshallah we will end this session. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.